I enjoy the aspect of helping people. I thought about going further, going to PA school, things like that, but then I kind of fell into my groove of what I found that I like to do.
It has our kind of slogan, serving those who serve others. That's what the podcast was created. Hey, what's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Called to Serve Podcast. I am your host, Reggie Hubbard, here with a very special guest today, Miss Carmen. Now, let me tell you a little bit about her. So she is in the orthopedic industry, has received her master's in exercise science, and is an Ole Miss alumni. So for all y'all Mississippi State folks out there, y'all already know what it is. I don't need to get any more further into that. Well, without further ado, welcome, Carmen.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming through.
Of course.
So, Carmen and I have a very interesting story. I just kept running into her randomly. And, I'm like, okay, she seems like a cool person. And then the next day, I run into her. Didn't really introduce myself. We just kind of said our highs and bys. And then just kept running into Carmen. And I'm like, you know what? The next time I run into this lady, I'm going to ask her what her name is. I'm going to ask her what she does, because I had a feeling she was in the healthcare industry. And I was like, man, you know what? I can tell that she does something. I think she'd be a great guest on the Call to Serve podcast. So that day came and I did. And now that I think about it, I was like, I could have came off a little bit creepy, because I'm like, hey, I want to show you something. and I think the uniform gave me a little bit of credibility, right?
Yes.
I said, hey, I have a podcast called Serve Podcast, where we honor people who serve others. And I'd love for you to be a guest. And here we are today.
Here we are.
So, Carmen, tell us your story. Where are you from? Just give us the shebang. Like, what led you into healthcare? Talk to us about growing up.
Okay, so I was actually born in California. My dad was in the Marines. I'm originally from Columbia, Tennessee, which is about 45 minutes south of Nashville. I've always been interested in science field, healthcare, things like that. I did competitive cheer for 13 years, so that kind of helped lead that path of wanting to go into healthcare, just from injuries and things like that. So when I applied to colleges, kept in mind that in the background of my head was healthcare, kind of what they had. So I went to Ole Miss and I graduated with my master's in exercise science. I thought about going further, going to PA school, things like that, but then I kind of fell into my groove of what I found that I like to do. My first job out of college was at Vanderbilt in the trauma ICU unit. Very thankful for that, but it is a lot. And then I decided to move here because me and my boyfriend met at school and he's from here, moved here, and then started working at P2 Orthopedics.
Wow. Yeah. So you got a story. And if you don't mind me asking, what's your age?
I am 24.
24 years old.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yep.
She got it going on like that at 24, y'all. That's what's up. I love hearing I love hearing and seeing young people win. That's awesome. Yeah. So, all right, we got to go back to competitive cheer for 13 years.
Yeah. It's what I fell into loving. I started when I was 6, and then I didn't cheer my senior year of high school. I got a knee injury, and that kind of led into a little bit more into wanting to go into orthopedics and things like that. So didn't completely cheer my senior year, kind of just helped out when teams needed it or something like that. And then,
So, all right. So for the ignorant people like myself, when in the world of competitive cheer, what exactly are, you competing for? Obviously the win, but what are the qualifications, what are they judging?
So there's different levels, obviously. There's all the way from like minis, which is just like your 4 and 5 year olds just doing it for fun. And then it goes all the way up to with that level without doing college, there's a level 6 open team, and that's more for your college kids that don't do school cheer, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, there's certain requirements that you have to have for each level. And then you compete, obviously, you know, competitions, you win, great. And then in May, it actually just happened this past weekend, so beginning of last week of April, early May, there's a thing called Summit and Worlds, and that's in Disney World. You have to get a bid to go, and it's basically all the best teams from around, and they compete, and then that's, I guess you could say, like the Super Bowl of cheer.
Wow. So I'm guessing they are judging on maybe choreography, technique.
So there's like choreography, technique, of course, like your stunts, people get thrown up in the air, your tumbling, your sharpness, your tightness, how you look. And then of course, there's deductions if something goes wrong, if something falls, things like that. And that kind of how what plays into your scores.
Wow. This is just a whole different world out there.
It is.
That people, that just seems like a whole world in its own.
It is. And there's never a break.
So, wow.
Like, season ends end of April, middle of May-ish. And then, I mean, tryouts are normally July. So that you have, and then the first competition of the year is normally, like, September, October. So that you have that time to prepare and get your routine made and learn the choreography and things like that. So there's not ever really a dead period. So it's a constant thing that you do all the time.
That's nuts. Yeah. I guess for people who don't live in that world, I've always thought that maybe cheerleading was maybe just to help people build confidence. And I'm sure it can do that, right? Yes,
for sure.
You know, to support the team. To really just orchestrate and to guide an experience or an atmosphere.
Correct. So with competitive cheer, there's not really a team you're cheering for. It's more just your audience.
Yeah.
Whereas with their school cheer, of course, you're cheering for the school you go to, things like that. So there is a little bit of difference between school cheer and competitive cheer. Obviously, school cheer, you have the chants and the things like that, and you're at the games. Where competitive cheer, there's not really ever a chant in your routine.
Yeah.
Routine's 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and you give it your all.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That makes me want to go back and watch Bring It On again.
Kind of like that, yeah.
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 Okay. So would you say that your experience in competitive cheering, do you think that it led you to maybe a career in pursuing that exercise science, or – can you talk to me about that?
Yeah, so I definitely think that helped a lot. You know, like I said, I saw injuries. I was injured going to physical therapy, you know, things like that definitely led to be like, okay, this is what I want to do. I enjoy the aspect of helping people. And then my cheer coach, who was my cheer coach for practically my whole time, she was a nurse and then retired from nursing and did cheer and everything like that. So she kind of helped led that path a little bit as well. And then in high school, I was the football manager / water girl for the football team. So nice. It was kind of like an athletic trainer, assistant type deal. So I got some like PE requirements, things like that in high school. So that definitely helped lead me to that as well.
Wow. Yeah. That's so cool. I'm still trying to like just think like you're only 24.
I am.
And you've accomplished so much already. That's very inspiring. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you.
So, exercise science, and now you work in the orthopedic industry. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about how that kind of came.
Yeah. So, like I said, you know, moved here a little over a year ago. When I was still at home, you know, I was just kind of looking for jobs, things like that. And this one popped up. Like I said, it's at Peachtree Orthopedics, and it's in the DME department, which is durable medical equipment. So what I do is, say somebody comes in, breaks their foot, sees the doctor, or the PA, or whoever they're seeing, and they need a boot. They'll come to my office. I'll fit them for a boot, tell them how it's supporting their foot, why they need this, show them how to wear it, all that kind of stuff, and then send them on their way.
Wow. Listen, I could have used a friend like you most of my life. I've been broken and put back together more times than I can.
Yeah, there's definitely lots of patients that, of course, are there for a while because of surgery, so I see them quite a bit. And then there's just those frequent flyers that we see all the time, especially with our urgent ortho. It's kind of like a walk-in clinic. So we definitely have people, same-day injury can come in and do that. So that's where we see a lot of our repeats.
So, okay, so thanks for sharing that. So, you know, I'm thinking about everyone that watches Call to Serve podcast, and there's some of us that may not be as well-versed in medical terminology as others. How would you explain what is orthopedics?
That's a good question. Orthopedics is definitely, you know, we have, it's a specialty, obviously, and there's a specialty within that specialty. So we have doctors that are more sports related, that are going to be more of our return to play for our players, things like that. We have spine doctors, knee, shoulder, foot, ankle, hand, elbow, I mean, whole body. Wow. So it's really broken bones, ACLs, shoulders, like I said, you know, back. We see a lot of workers' comp and personal injury, but really, you know, anything that's going on. And then, of course, if you come and they're like, I think it may be something, we can always refer you out to whatever doctor they think you need to see for that problem. But
yeah,
it's anything.
Wow. So it's a very broad spectrum of treatment.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Man, it's crazy how technology is these days. I mean, you can literally, it's all these different scans you can get. And,
exactly.
You know, you just get like, oh, yeah, I need to go see someone and get a custom boot or, you know.
It is. So we do, like I said, a lot of different bracing, things like that. I'd say our top two biggest things we do are ACLs and shoulders. Elbows, we see a lot of baseball players. One of our doctors is actually partial team doctor for the Braves, so we do a lot with them as well, which was kind of what helped drew me here. I like that. I like sports, so I like being in the sports orthopedic practice area. So it's really cool to kind of see how they go from surgery all the way through physical therapy and then being back on the field.
Now, did you know that you always wanted to kind of be in this industry or a related industry? In the medical or the healthcare industry in general, was that kind of like an inkling that you had?
Yeah, definitely something I've always wanted to do. I'm not the type of person to be sitting down and just at a desk job. Props to the people that can do that, but that is not me. I like to be up and going and help, you know, doing things like that. So that's always been in the back of my mind. And then going back to high school, we had to pick a focus area.
Yeah.
And there was a bunch of, I'm sure most of them do, but I did the healthcare one, and that kind of helped. Okay, this is actually what I want to do, not just more of thinking it. I actually got to kind of put it into play.
Yeah. So as a kid, were you very, like a nurturing kid at all? Or
I would say so, yeah. I'm probably one of the older of our, like my parents' friends and kids and everything. I'm definitely on the older side. So I was always the one that babysat the younger kids and things like that. So it's always been, I like that aspect, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not the desk type guy. You know, I always say this, the lion don't belong in a zoo.
Yeah, no.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. I got to be out roaming and making stuff happen, right? Me being like locked in a office for 8, 10, 12 hours a day. Drive me insane.
We definitely have slower days at our clinic because we also have a surgery center on our first floor. So on Wednesdays, most of our doctors are doing surgery, so it's kind of slower in the clinic. And those Wednesdays, I'm definitely like roaming around trying to find things to do just because it's not as busy as our other days are.
Yeah.
So
do you see yourself maybe venturing out into maybe other parts of the medical industry, or you think orthopedics is maybe like,
I definitely like orthopedics. I feel like if I did venture out, it would still kind of be in that orthopedic field. But I just, that's the aspect that I've been drawn to and that I really like. So
I got I mean, what you saying for real is like I pretty much got an orthopedics plug now. You know, yeah. if I break something, I'll be like, oh, Carmen.
Yes, definitely come see
I
us.
Need to come through to the office.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, that urgent ortho is very, very helpful for people like that. That can't get an appointment because our doctors are pretty booked. It's, you know, we have 10 offices open, and they're all usually pretty wow. full 90% of the time. So,
wow. Yeah. So you know, I'm going to shift gears just a little bit. Okay. Let's shift gears a little bit. We'll come back to that later. But I know you mentioned you like sports. Mm-hmm. So has that always been like a family thing? Growing up, did you do sports with your family or?
Yeah, I would definitely say it was a family thing. Like any other little kid, I tried all the sports before I found cheer. Went through t-ball, went through soccer, went through dance, did it all. But my family is very big into sports, football, things like that. And then my little brother does travel baseball, and then my little sister does soccer and swim. So we're definitely a sport family.
Okay. Are you the oldest?
I am the oldest. Okay. My little brother is just turned 10. He is on my mom's side. And then on my dad's side, I have a little sister, and she'll be 14 in July.
Wow. So you like legit big sister.
Yep. I was the oldest for 10 years on my dad's side, and me and my little brother are 15 years apart. So.
Wow.
Yeah. definitely a big, big change when that came along, but.
Yeah. Hey. Such is life, right?
It is life, yep.
So, what made you decide to go to Ole Miss?
So, we had some family friends from home that had somebody go there, and she, of course, when I started the process of applying and touring and things like that, she was like, come tour. You know, a lot of people don't really, from my small town, don't go to big universities and things like that, but I always knew, I'm the type that just go. I don't like to be tied down or anything like that. And that's how my parents raised me. You know, they always knew I would go off to school. So I applied toward schools, everything like that. I applied to Alabama and Ole Miss. And it was definitely a homey feeling. It just felt like that's where I needed to be. And it was definitely the best 4 years of my life. Yeah, I would definitely go back if I could.
It's a very prestigious university for sure. And as a... There's a lot of history at Ole Miss, and as a, you know, I guess why I was asking that is because I know a lot of people who I know who have gone to Ole Miss, it's more like a family thing. Like, yeah, my family went there, you know, for this many generations.
Yeah.
And so when you mentioned that it's got like that family or that homey vibe.
It does.
I guess I could see why.
Yeah, everybody there, even the people I met, obviously, that went to school there, it is mainly 90% of the population, I would say, is college kids. But even, like, the families that are from there or the families, like you said, that would have people be like, oh, my grandfather went here type of deal. Like, everybody always comes back. So that's what I liked. I was like, it's a homey feeling. I felt safe. I think that was one of the big things. And then, of course, the education played a big role in it as well.
Now, this is this is a question that I just will ask, but if you didn't get into the healthcare profession, was there something else that you might have picked?
That's a good question. Like I said, you know,
thank you.
Healthcare has always been kind of in my mind. I think I would probably do something with sales just because you can still be on the move. Definitely something that I could keep moving. Like I said, I don't like to be still for longer periods of time, so I don't think anything like a desk job would have worked with me. But definitely something I could have kept moving along. So I think sales would have probably been my next kind of go into.
Anything in particular? Any type of sales specifically?
Of course, there's always medical sales. That was always kind of in my mind as well.
Yeah.
Which is still healthcare, of course. But not really. Just would probably just see what I... Of course, when you take classes, you know, there's certain classes like, okay, you're going to take sales and XYZ. So those would probably kind of have helped lead me where I was going to go. But
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think sales is always the move. You know, being a businessman, you got to have a product and you've got to have a customer base.
Yep.
If you don't have those two things, you don't have a business.
Correct.
Right. So if you ever wanted to be, you know, a successful entrepreneur or have a successful business, somebody within that organization better be good at sales.
Correct. Yeah. So that's, like I said, that's kind of, I guess, my other place that I would go into. Now my boyfriend got a degree in sports management and obviously saw some of the classes he was taking. That was kind of interesting as well. But yeah.
Yeah. So exercise science, sports management. I mean, you brought him up. So would you mind kind of telling us how y'all met? Or?
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. So like I said, he's from Georgia, Milton area. He went to Grayson High School and then graduated from Cambridge.
Okay.
So we had a mutual friend. Me and the mutual friend were actually in the same sorority together. And we all just kind of started hanging out. And then, of course, our sophomore year was COVID. So we were kind of on lockdown. Oof. Yeah. So we were kind of on lockdown. So it was kind of like, hey, come over, hang out. That's all we could really do. So, you know, we had a pool at our apartment, which definitely helped. So people would come over and just kind of hang out. And that's how we met. And here we are 4 years later.
You know what? COVID wasn't as bad as it seemed, because there were some beautiful things that came out of COVID.
Yeah, I could say so. Definitely took some of my harder classes during COVID. So could say that definitely helped being able to take those online. But it was definitely an interesting time to be in school.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think even now, to some extent, just that human-human connection, how we communicate with other people, has been affected by COVID.
Yes.
You know, but like I said, COVID, there were some beautiful things that came out of COVID. Me and my wife actually got close during COVID. She got furloughed from her job. I ran a photography company. She was in the modeling. We started building a portfolio, working closely together, just became really good friends, and, you know, didn't have no intentions at that point in time. But, I mean, it was COVID.
You're stuck in one place for...
She's like, hey, I've got this time, like, you know, I'm furloughed from my job. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, well, shoot, I'm an entrepreneur. But, you know, I didn't have a job. I made my own schedule, so... And we just became really cool, really good friends, became best friends.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm not sure if that would have happened if COVID wouldn't have happened.
I agree. I don't know if me and Jackson would be where we are, just because, I mean, like I said, we were literally stuck in either my apartment or his apartment. So, I mean, like, it was kind of, we definitely grew closer faster during that. So I think that's kind of what helped.
Yeah. That's really cool. Another COVID relationship.
Yeah, yeah. It was, like I said, it was definitely an interesting time being in school. But
all right, so I gotta know, because now that I know that, you know, I'm Jackson.
Yes.
Has a degree in sports management. I'm assuming that he likes sports.
He does like sports.
And you like sports.
I do.
Do y'all have the same favorite teams, or do y'all kind of like? Do you play devil's advocate? If whoever he picks, you're going to go with the opposite just to create some type of.
Yeah. So, of course, we both like Ole Miss. Both graduated from there. Alabama is probably my other team. My stepdad went there, so that's kind of where that comes from. And then my dad's a Michigan fan, so I guess I root for them too. he, of course, likes Georgia. And then I would say NFL. I don't really pay as much attention to NFL. I would say Titans, just because Nashville, that's kind of where I grew up going to games and stuff. He's a big Cowboys fan. So sometimes, you know, he likes to pick on me about that. When I moved here, he told me I had to either become a Georgia fan or a Cowboys fan. I said, well, I'd probably get disowned if I became a Georgia fan by my family. So I guess I could say I'm kind of a Cowboys fan now. But
yeah.
But besides that, everything else, of course, the Braves, I've always liked them, though. So
yeah. So are you both competitive?
Yes. Yes. I would say so. In different ways. In
different ways.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I can just imagine just, you know, it's friendly, healthy competition, of course, and, you know, him just not ever letting you win or you not ever letting him win, but you being able to kick his butt in some stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely, he's also a big golfer, which I'm not, so that's kind of the freebie he gets. I just enjoy riding on the golf court and things like that, but we've gotten into pickleball, and we definitely butt heads when we play pickleball together.
You know what? That's confirmation for me. There's been a bunch of people telling me, yo, Reg, you need to get on this pickleball tip. I've never played.
It's not as hard as, like, we started playing last summer. It's not as hard as you think. I mean, we're not obviously playing in, like, tournaments. We're just more having fun and things like that with our friends and things. But it's definitely fun. It's definitely something to do. They also, in more Buford area, they have an indoor pickleball court, which is kind of set up like a Topgolf, so you can get the drinks and the food and things like that and rent a court, and it's pretty fun. Yeah. So we do that, and then, of course, you know, the parks all around have courts, so if it's usually in the summer, we like to go out there and mess around. And
I could just imagine playing pickleball with a couple of drinks.
Yeah, it definitely gets entertaining, but sometimes I like to just sit back and watch people.
Yeah.
Rather than play, but still have fun.
That's cool. I did not know that. I'm definitely going to have to get that information from you. Because, like I said, I've never played pickleball. I don't know the first thing about any of the rules or anything like that. So
I say it's like a life-size ping pong. It's the best way to explain.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
I wonder if my wife would be interested in trying to play some pickleball.
Definitely something to at least try.
We're both competitive, so.
Oh, yeah.
But with her, it's just like depends on those things. Like, she's real soft-spoken and reserved, but if it's something that she wants, yeah, she's got that fire.
Yep.
You know, so, yeah, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Really cool. Yeah. So, outside of the healthcare, outside of sports, is there anything else that you're passionate about?
Definitely, I would say spending time with, you know, friends, family, is something that I'm very passionate about. I like to have those close relationships with the people I really care about. I'm also passionate about traveling. I really like to travel. I think that kind of came from competitive cheer, going to a bunch of different places for that. But I would say those would probably be the two main things.
Where's your favorite place that you've been so far?
I have a few. I really like to go anywhere tropical, warm, things like that. I've been to Cabo. That's probably been a nice trip.
Cabo is nice.
Yes, Cabo is really nice. I've been to Paris. Say it's a trip, but I don't know if it's somewhere I would go back to unless it was,
yeah,
just something. But I'd say those would probably be the top two that I've been on that I definitely really would enjoy going back. Like I said, Paris, but I'm glad I got to go.
Yeah. So, fun fact, right? Call to Serve podcast. Actually, we did our launch party from Cabo.
Oh, nice.
This past December. Love so, that. San Lucas, Cabo. Yeah. We were there. The launch party, we actually had a wedding to go to as well. So, nice. You know, some good friends of ours got married out there. So, I really enjoyed Cabo. It was dope.
It was very.
Definitely would go back. But I was like, oh, that's so funny. Like, we actually launched.
That's cool.
From Cabo. And we watched the podcast go live for the first time from Cabo.
Nice. Yeah, we went the summer after COVID. Obviously, you know, everybody was wanting to do something.
Yes.
So it was, half capacity everywhere was, which was kind of nice because we got to enjoy everything. But I definitely want to go back now that it's more back to what it is supposed to be. Because even the resorts, not all the restaurants were open, just things like that. So I definitely want to go back there.
Yeah. Is there anywhere else that you would like to go? That's kind of been on your on your mind, like, I'd like to go here.
Yeah, so my parents actually went to Turks and Caicos for my mom's 40th, and it was an adult-only trip, so I didn't get to go on that one. So that's definitely somewhere that I know. That's definitely somewhere I want to go. Always want to Key West. I feel like it's a fun – it's. I feel like Key West is almost like you're on a different island, but you're not. But like I said, really anywhere – tropical, warm. I definitely do want to go back to California and kind of explore more of where I was born. I've been back once when I was younger, so now that I'm older, I kind of want to go back and really take in and see everything.
Yeah. What part? What part did you say you were from?
San Diego.
San Diego. Okay. I was
actually born on Camp Pendleton.
Okay.
So that's where.
Yeah. So yeah, because you said your dad's a Marine.
Correct. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. California is. A massive state.
Yes.
It's crazy that you can literally spend a whole day driving through the through one state and then some.
Yeah.
You know, I went to San Francisco in February and NBA All-Star Weekend. Jeff Curry, let's go.
Fun. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's not Splash Brothers anymore, but, you know. So, Cali, I've got family in Cali. In the Bay Area.
Okay.
So Northern California. My dad actually lives out there.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I rock with you. I rock with you on the Cali vibes. It's a different world.
Yes.
You know, especially I hope that you know you get to go back soon as an adult and really just like kind of just take it in.
Yeah, yeah. And then one of my roommates from college, she was from California. Of course, moved to the South for school and everything like that. And she's like, I don't ever want to move back there. She's like, obviously visiting and things, but she's like, when you're from there,
yeah.
And then you get to move and then you come back, it's kind of a little bit different. So.
A little different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about like anywhere like further out east or like in Asia? You ever thought about going like Asia? Like-
yeah, definitely want to do something like that. Greece is probably on my...
Yes.
Like Santorini is probably on my bucket list at some point. Like I said, when we did Paris, we started out in Paris and kind of bust into smaller cities and then ended in Barcelona. So I got to see a bunch of different places, but Greece is definitely on my radar of places I want to go eventually.
Yeah, it's on my top three.
Yeah, I would say.
Yes. So we've been blessed to be able to go to Dubai a few times on business.
Okay.
And you know, and things like that. Business, vacation. You know, you always gotta find a little time to play.
Exactly.
You know
exactly.
What I mean? So we've been a few times. That was pretty awesome. Abu Dhabi's cool.
I've seen, of course, Instagram bloggers, things like that, people have been, and I think it'd be somewhere I'd wanna go. I don't know if it's like, you know, my top, but
yeah.
Like, you know, if there was an opportunity for some reason for work or something like that, then
yeah.
I definitely think it would be a cool place to visit.
Yeah, I resonate with that. It is, and it's not one of my favorite places to go. But, you know, I've never just been like, oh, babe, we're about to just go book a trip to Dubai just because, you know, and it's nothing against Dubai.
Yeah.
It's just the vibe is cool. It's a lot of cool things to do. The architecture is awesome. Mm-hmm. The people are very nice, right? It's just we mainly have just gone for business and, riding the camels and, riding ATVs through the desert is cool. The dune buggies, that's pretty cool as well.
Yeah.
We got to go to the top of the Burj Khalifa, which was really an awesome experience.
Oh, yeah.
Literally being like at that time, or still, I guess, like the highest man-made structure in the world
that's
complete. So that was pretty cool. There's a lot of great experiences there. And if you like to shop, freaking massive malls.
Yeah, that's definitely things that I've seen. I'm like, maybe it is worth going over there and buying what I need and bringing it back.
Yeah, I mean, malls are massive. You can literally be walking all day and not get through it all. Like,
that's crazy.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
But yeah, Greece, that's one of my top ones right there. So,
yeah.
Don't be surprised if you see, you know, see my story and we in Greece.
Yeah.
Like, yo, babe, Carmen just got me itching for Greece again.
I know. And Jackson's dad's a big traveler. So, he loves to go on trips and things like that. So I have to mention, be like, hey, I think our next trip should be somewhere like that. So he's always going somewhere.
Super cool.
Oh, yeah.
So I do have one more question for you.
Okay.
And I ask this question a lot, but I think it's a super cool question. What might people be surprised to know about you?
Mm. One that I always go to because it is kind of shocking. I don't like chocolate. That's normally the reaction I get. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'd probably say that's like one of the big, most shocking when I tell people, they're like, what?
Like no chocolate at all.
Yes and no. So I could eat like, which is, I don't even know if I would consider this chocolate, but like M&M's, Reese's Pieces, things like that. But
yeah.
I don't like chocolate cake, ice cream, anything like that.
Gotcha.
No.
Well, it's people like me who love chocolate. We're grateful for people like you because yeah. It's more for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But another thing, I'm trying to think. I guess this isn't really about me, but the Hannah Montana movie was mm-hmm. filmed in my hometown.
Ah.
So, I guess I was the big concert at the end of the movie, if you've ever seen it. I was there for that. But I guess, I don't know. I guess that's what I would say.
Yeah.
Some interesting facts about my hometown area.
Chocolate.
But yeah, chocolate's Anna probably Montana. The big one. Yeah.
Wow. Well, check this out. Before we let you go.
Okay.
I got something for you.
Okay.
So what I have for you is a custom Call to Serve podcast.
Thank you.
Challenge coin. Yeah. And what that's meant to be is just to serve as a reminder for why you serve every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do what you do. You could totally go do something else.
Yeah.
You know, you make a decision to get up however often you get up to go do what you do and to go do it. And the reality is that a lot of people are out there and they struggle with guidance or they just don't have the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
On orthopedic health. I know, like, that's not something I'm, like, well-versed in. I probably wouldn't have this mean limp I got if I did. If I had somebody, like, a plug, get me on the right boot.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But most people think I just got, you know, a little bit of swag. So I let them think that.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, dog. Like, I'm, your boy is limping.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's okay. They don't have to know that.
Yeah. But what that is and what I hope it would be is just a reminder as why you serve.
Well, thank
right?
you.
Right. And on the back of it, it has our kind of slogan, serving those who serve others. That's what the podcast was created, is to just say thank you for doing what you do for people every single day. You know, you may not hear it enough. You may not hear it at all. But there is somebody out there that appreciates what you do each and every day. And don't think for one second that it doesn't count.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Also, you know, you got a sticker.
Oh, I love stickers. Yes, I'll definitely put that on probably my water bottle. That's where most of my stickers go.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, thank you for having me. I definitely, you know, feel called to serve, obviously.
Yes.
I've always, like I said, had that eager urgency to help people. Even at a young age, you know, I like to babysit. That obviously is helping people as well. So definitely had that urge to always want to help people. I've been on mission trips to help people, things like that. So it's always been kind of my little passion as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm definitely going to be keeping in touch with you and just following, you know, your journey.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, maybe one day we can have you back.
Yeah.
Give us some updates.
Sounds good.
Maybe you have a couple of places checked off your list that you've traveled
yeah,
to.
Yeah, hopefully.
You know, and maybe you've converted to a Mississippi State fan.
No.
No, she's true to the game, y'all. She's true to the game, y'all. Well, Like I said, thanks for coming. It was an honor and a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Until next time.
Yeah. Thank you.